Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Well, hello, and welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. This is Judy B. This episode is the live and in-person podcast that we did at the Listen Local, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast Partay that happened in Duluth, Minnesota on June 27th in the evening at the Zeitgeist. We had a really great turnout and people look like they were having a good time. They told me they were having a good time and it's already been multiple people suggesting we should do it again. So I will take that as a good sign. Thank you so much to everybody that came out and shared the evening. It really meant a lot to me that you were there. And even though I didn't get a chance to talk to each and every one of you, I really do appreciate it. So thank you so much. We shared some really great food. Thank you to the Zeitgeist Cafe. Everyone hung out and then we did the live podcast, which started out with some podcast trivia, some questions about things that were on various episodes or the people that were on various episodes. And Cookie Killian joined me on stage for that piece of the show, reading the trivia questions. And then Angie Locker read the questions that people, when they signed up for a ticket, had a chance to flip the script and throw me a question. So I answered those questions. And then I shared a little bit about a new endeavor that I'm going on, another little podcast adventure. So listen forth to learn more about that. All right, on forth with the show. Hello, everybody, as Grover would say. So we're going to start the podcast. I want to welcome you guys all to Listen Local, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast Partay. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of the podcast, being a supporter of the podcast, and coming out tonight. I really do appreciate it. This is a pretty awesome collection of people in one room, and I really appreciate y'all being here. So for tonight's festivities, we're going to do some trivia. And this is non-intimidation trivia. You're not going to win anything. But knowing the answers is fun. And you might learn a little bit along the way. And I want to introduce Cookie Killian. If you don't know Cookie Killian, you should go back and listen to a few episodes of the podcast. Cookie is a manual therapist and a very, very good one at that. She does some magic. So thank you for helping me, Cookie, in making this fun and exciting. So here's the deal. Cookie is going to read trivia questions. And if it is your trivia question, can't answer. If it is, you forget it's your trivia question. The deal is, if you have an answer or you want to try to answer, shout out and speak it so we all can hear. And then if nobody gets the answer, then we will see if the person is in the room and if they want to stand up and admit it, and stand up boldly and loudly if you do. This is a dark room. I don't know what I was thinking. I think I thought there were more lights. Anyway, Cookie, would you like to do the honors of reading the first question?
Who was the first podcast guest that grew up in Africa?
Who was the podcast guest that grew up in Africa? Guess? Woohoo! Yes, it was Paul Bergstrom. Thank you. Awesome. All right.
And what does Paul do for bonus points?
He does
Shin Jinjitsu.
And he's an awesome person.
What is the most listened to episode of the podcast?
You all have programs in front of you, or have potential to have programs in front of you, so you can totally cheat and look and guess.
The one about sex.
You know what? It's not, but I'll have a story about that for you later.
Is that a podcast that I missed?
Yes.
Well, shit.
There's a sexual authenticity coach. She's fascinating.
I got to listen more about that.
I know, right? All right, more guesses? Come on.
The one with Sarah No. That's a good guess, though.
The most listened to podcast.
The ones that has... Oh, Moosey Pants. It's not the one about Moosey Pants, but it should be, because Moosey's awesome.
Okay, should we give it to him?
Yes. No more guesses. Going once, going twice.
Episode 8 by Aaron DeWitt on conscious living. So if you haven't listened to it, you probably should. It's a fan favorite.
And she, just for the folks who have been on the podcast, we don't quite know, you know, we only know so much when it comes to actual statistics, right? But what I do know is we can see usually where those podcast listens kind of come from. And Erin has hers like on her front page. So yeah, and she consistently gets listens, obviously, as our most listened podcast. So, all right, next question.
Okay, here is a quote. Who said it? It has to do with the culture of where you are. And it always reminds me of the sneeches, you know, that some people like stars on their bellies. And then there are some that get jealous of the people who don't have those stars and back and forth.
Any guesses who said that? Nobody's going to guess.
Okay. That was Joel Bamford. Our Skin, the Sun, Benefits, Drawbacks, yes. And the Care, episode 84.
So if you want to hear about the sneeches, how that comes into play.
All right, next question. There is a person here.
Oh, actually, they're not here.
They're not here.
No, but well, go ahead and ask the question, because there's a story.
Where is she? Her chances of being alive after June 7, 2017 was 5%. But she is still alive and kicking. Who is this miraculous person?
What's that? Jean Sumner? No.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh. Because she was a guest on my podcast. Well, I'll give it to you in that she was supposed to be here today. Beth Bedell did a podcast with me about her... She had a DNR, do not resuscitate, and she ended up going into cardiac arrest while they were telling her she wasn't going into cardiac arrest. And then she woke up and she said, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be here. I had a DNR. So after you are resuscitated, there's a whole bunch of things that happen. And one of those things that she found out that she didn't know was that after, I think it was 3 years, after 3 years after you've been resuscitated, you have about a 5% chance of living. So it's 2019. She's still alive and kicking. She, however, is not kicking so great because she had knee surgery and she's having some pain and couldn't drive because of it. So,
alrighty, who talked about rubbers?
I actually am not sure if we talked about rubbers on the sex podcast.
Anybody?
Obviously, it wasn't a safe sex podcast.
Anybody want to fess up?
It was Marcy. Marcy talked about rubbers.
That's on episode 78, The Eagle's Nest.
Yes.
Give it a listen.
Can we put some contacts? We can put some contacts. I was going to.
Yep, go ahead.
I was going to. So Marcy gave an absolutely fantastic, she talked to me about the history. I'm in the beam. The history of massage. And at one point, I don't remember exactly when, they didn't call massage, but in the documentation, the people were called rubbers. Because, you know, you're rubbing, right? That's what you're doing, right? Yeah. So that's very descriptive, very helpful, right? Like, who, you know, I'm a masseuse. What does that mean? I'm a rubber. Oh, okay, got it. Right?
Okay, next question. The first writing about massage was written about in what year?
This is fascinating. This is fascinating because of the year that it is, which we'll uncover in a minute. Anybody have a guess? The first time massage was written about? 1972. What's that?
Closer. 2700 BC.
That was the first documentation.
In
Isn't that crazy?
Egypt and China.
So it's not a new fandangled therapy, right?
All right. Everybody knows Brandon Munson, right? Manager at Regis. Networking. Maniac.
Extraordinaire.
Has he ever been on a podcast?
No.
Except yes. Except completely non-consensually. He was a background guest.
He was a background guest giving tours as he walks through. Yes. We had a few non-consensual guests. Random people who walked through Regis, but also a few babies who weren't actually vocally on the podcast because they were like not born yet, but they were hanging out with us. So that was exciting.
Who said, if you want your butt done, you need to know where to go?
That's if you want your butt done, you need to know where to go.
That was mean.
It was Cookie.
I had no idea when I read this. It's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, that's something I'd say. And I've said worse. Oh, Lord.
Do you want context put around that as well? I think you know what? I think one of the other quotes that I was choosing one from was, "No, nobody's ever touched my butt before." That was my other choice.
Well, at least you didn't quote me on "I'm not a prostitute."
That's true. Also, another quote from Cookie's podcast. There's a lot of nuggets in Cookie's podcast.
Yeah, there's some good nuggets there.
Yes. Yes, there are. So the reason we were talking about butts is because we were, you know, talking about when you get a whole body massage and how there are many places and people who don't do the whole body, right? And then that's fine. That's their gig. That's awesome. But if you want a butt massage, because there's a lot of stuff going on there, right? A lot of things connecting. So that you have to know where to go and who does it. So there are, yes. We could have a whole podcast on some of those discussions.
Well, and there are cities in Minnesota that outlaw it, that you cannot touch it on any. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and I had a chiropractor once who was like, if they're not working my glutes, they are not working me, because there's just way too much there to loosen up. So isn't that interesting? So.
All right. Who has their own Coursera course? Coursera, I'm guessing it's a.
Yes.
I'm guessing that's what is that's online learning.
Yes. Okay. So Jan Tomeno has a it's a Coursera. It's a national, it might be even global, where you can go take classes for like really, really very inexpensive. But they're all college courses that you can take pretty inexpensively.
Well, cool stuff, sweet. Jan.
I know. She's just rocking it.
What oils interact with blood thinners?
This is your helpful question. One of your helpful questions of the evening.
Yes.
Learn something.
What
case.
What essential oils?
Essential oils.
Let's go there.
So this.
Because yes, you're not wrong.
Smelly ones. Any guesses? Come on. There's just some essential oil people here. You can take some guesses, man.
I guess not.
What's that?
Wintergreen and birch. What coach will take your coaching session on a 5K if you have fitness as part of your life goal? Anybody? Yep.
It's Barb.
Bankston?
Yep. Barb Bankston.
Nice. What is highly suggested for vegetarians to eat as a recommended source of vitamin B6 and 12 to replace what they are not getting from meat? Hint, it tastes like cheese.
Woohoo! Yes, nutritional yeast.
Okay, bonus question. What type of yeast is it? It's used to make bread, brew beer, and kombucha. It's got another. No, it does all that.
It's we're looking for the scientific name here, people. Just in case somebody happens to know it besides Jocelyn. That is
Starts
a yeast.
With an S.
That is not one you want.
Starts with an S.
Saccharomyces. Yep. Great at your next water cooler discussion.
Okay, this sounds like a shameless plug. When you get a massage at Eagle's Nest and with Cookie Killian Manual Therapy, if you buy a 60-minute massage, how many minutes are you actually getting on the table?
Depends. 60 is the correct answer.
If you pay
answer.
For 60, you get 60 minutes hands-on touching.
Yes.
Okay, what podcast guest met J.P. Sears? He's the YouTube guy. The what is he?
He's the
super spiritual.
He's a, yeah, he's actually a life coach. I think he calls himself Larry. He's got a really good podcast too, by the way.
He's hilarious.
He is awesome. Yes, he's brilliant. Long red hair. Usually wears a purple shirt.
And he makes a lot of good points, making fun of
his satirical comedy.
Yes.
Yes, he's hilarious.
Okay. Any guesses?
Besides Sarah Silverman, who didn't meet him, as far as I know, she could have. I could be wrong, but as far as I know, she hasn't. What's that? Matthew Timms? No, no, no. They would be an interesting pair, though.
Okay, we got Kyle Severson at
Kyle Severson
Wilderness
got to meet him
Wellness
at a
Chiropractic
Conference. I'm so jealous.
Episode 37. Kyle Severson shares the history of chiropractic. What was the year of the first chiropractic adjustment performed and recorded? What disability cleared with that adjustment? So the year of the first chiropractic adjustment and what was here?
1895?
Yes. And what was it?
Do you know what the disability was that was clear? So,
deafness.
Yeah, it was deafness, right.
Awesome.
It's a handy adjustment there. Go to your left. Sorry. But you clearly know the history of your chiropractic, Dr. Stout, who is a chiropractor. So if you need somebody who's adjusting, you know where to go. And
okay, I'm guessing Lyle Wilde. Because you just say Lyle,
oh,
like everyone
Lyle.
Knows Lyle.
I'm sorry.
Like
he's
Cher.
You know
Lyle is the new Cher
Lyle.
Madonna in our crowd
that's
here.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
So Lyle
Cher
says
Madonna.
That we should not be a good person. What should we be instead?
A what? Oh, whole. A whole person. Oh, that's... No, that is not the
right
answer,
but
that's a good
right.
answer. Yeah. It's a good thing to shoot for. I mean, I think we should all try to be whole people, though. What's that?
Sincere.
Also very good, but no.
Well, it's okay. So wait, read the question again, because the question...
We should not be a good person. What should we do instead?
Okay. Right. I wrote these and I forgot it how it goes already.
Lyle, what should we do? If we're not to be a good person, what should we do instead?
There you
All
go.
Right.
Be a better person. It's because if you are a good person, then we're dividing the world up into good and bad. And therefore, if you do something that a good person would not do, then you are a bad person. So if we work at being a better person every day, see how that goes? That's our brain coach.
That's very deep.
That's our brain coach.
That's very deep.
That's what you get when you hang out with him for an afternoon.
Okay, now you're making me cuss, and you know I would never do this. This is not me.
Because you've never cussed before. Cookie did not quote this,
but hell.
Say it with gusto, because it needs to be said with gusto.
Oh, good God. Who said, fuck off, Fritz? I've never said
Walter
Fritz.
Walter Monsdale's wife. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this is actually a little bit of a trick question because this podcast actually hasn't aired. So I was curious to see what people would say. I'm a little sad. Nobody had any guesses. Would the guilty party like to confess? Coach Carrie over here. She's got a great story behind it. You should listen. It's awesome. It'll all make sense. And I'm not going to give you context with that.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
give
listen.
You contacts either, but I'm not going to give you context. Because
okay.
It's a great podcast. I haven't edited it yet, but I know it. But it was good.
You were there.
The first time was awesome. The second time's going to be great. That's the one thing. It's fun editing sometimes. It was like I get done with editing, and it's somebody that I've interviewed a while back. I'm like, damn, that was good. Like, this is awesome. And I get re-fired up and excited, and it's like, oh, this is going to be great. So I don't know if you guys like it as much as I do, but I have a really good time.
I love that.
You guys are awesome. I just want you to know.
Okay. In episode 10, Babies, Roller Coasters, and Google Snacks, the mother who had given birth in Utah was charged $39.35 for what?
What was that?
In that episode, there was a mother who gave birth in Utah, and she was charged $39.35 for this particular act. Right. This is a Western medicine thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty... Yes. Yep. Good job. Yes. Yep. For the baby being placed on her chest for her to hold the kid, she was charged $39. I know, right? Yeah. I wonder what she was charged to take that kid home. Well, a lot of money, but I yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Did they get that reversed? I'm trying to remember. I just listened to the episode and I don't remember if they got it reversed or not.
It's been 2 years.
That's true. I suppose I'm asking the wrong guy. They did do a Kickstarter, and they got other people to pay for it, though, so that's kind of fun.
Who has a song that they wrote, and with it won a compilation? Okay, who wrote a song, and with it won a compilation? I'm thinking you mean competition.
Yes, I did mean competition.
Yeah. And that song is published in a book by the United Church of Christ. Okay, we got a songwriter with a published song in a book by the United Church of Christ.
So there was a songwriter. There's a. That's the answer. Yes, good job. There was a. Sarah Vandermeiden is the answer, and Sarah Vandermeiden wrote a song, and the song she entered into a competition, and the song won a competition to be entered into a book, into the hymnal of the United Church of Christ. So, yes. So check her out, man. Check out her songs.
In episode 80, about trafficking with Mel Alvar, what is the number of indigenous women that are missing and murdered? And who does the official tracking of these missing and murdered indigenous women? Nobody knows?
Nothing.
That's the answer. Nobody knows.
What did you say? That is correct. We don't actually know how many people because there is actually no official tracking. So that's kind of sad and interesting.
When it comes to runaway youth, one study mentioned how long it typically takes a runaway youth to come in contact with a trafficker or a recruiter.
For a trafficker.
So how many hours does it take a runaway youth to come in contact with a trafficker?
It's a good guess. It is within the answer, though. Closer. Yes. 48. Is it 48?
48.
Within 48 hours, they will be approached. And she said in her experiences that has been the case.
On two entirely different and separate occasions, Mel Alvar and Judy both ran into pimps. And probably not the same pimp. What city did these events both happen? My pimp city.
Your pimp city? You met a pimp in this city as well? Popular city.
Yeah. Any guesses? Where would you find a good pimp?
Yes. Minneapolis. Yes. I'm assuming it would be interesting. We should compare years. But mine was a long time ago because it was in front of Rocky Rococo's downtown Minneapolis, and that hasn't been there for a very long time. But Rocky Rococo's, my favorite pizza.
We're done.
Oh, my gosh, we're done. Yay, you all won. Woo! All right, next item up for bid. It's you. Yeah, I think you're next on the list, right? Thank you, Miss Cookie. Cookie rocked it.
Cocktails with Judy.
All right, so this is Miss Angie Locker. Angie and I go way back for like, a year or two?
Many, many weeks.
We both co-facilitate men's groups at the Domestic Abuse Intervention Program. And have gotten to, we started going out for breakfast. Breakfast is fun.
Breakfast with Judy should be a regular thing for everyone. Breakfast with Judy.
We have a very good time. It's very therapeutic.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you for having wonderful breakfast with me. Yes. It's a good time.
It's good times.
So We did, as you probably noticed for many of you when you bought the ticket online. We had, and so I'm sad if I didn't get some of the questions that came in. But so a bunch of questions came in, and it was an opportunity. I've been encouraged a few times. People have said, you know, you're always the one asking the questions. And so somebody needs to ask you some questions. And I thought, well, this is an interesting opportunity to do that. This could be fascinating to leave that to an open door. So I did. And Angie has the list of questions that I have sort of seen, but haven't had much time to ponder. So this could be very fascinating. All right.
What I like about this is when you talk to Judy, she has so many amazing stories to share that you run out of time. And so these questions are everything I wanted to ask you. And so I'm hoping we'll get the answers to all these great things about what makes you, you.
Yeah. That's a way longer story.
We'll scrape the top. Okay. So first question, Judy, is what was one job you had that might surprise everyone?
One that I'll admit to?
Not in Minneapolis.
All right, good. Then I get out of that one. What's that?
The butt massage.
Butt massage. I have done massage, actually, and I did include butt when I did mine, so I guess it's true, actually. I still have somebody that occasionally emails me and says, hey, you moving back to the cities yet? Because he wants to. That's nice. That's a nice compliment. So I had a weird job, probably one of my weirdest jobs. I don't know what the technical name of this, because I always feel really uncomfortable saying that for this job, I worked through a modeling agency, which is true in what I did. I was walking and this woman recruited me because she thought I had great hands. And I ended up actually doing some work for them where you would go to places. So they would hire people to go and, for instance, in this particular case, hand out menus at a new restaurant to create awareness, right? Like, there's a name for this, but I don't know what it is. So I did that. And, you know, that's not a job, especially the working for a modeling agency, that most people would equate me to. The fun thing that happened is we had to go to this Mexican restaurant. There's a little story with this job thing, right? So we had to go to this Mexican restaurant in Wisconsin from Minneapolis, or I was living in St. Paul at the time. And I went on a couple different occasions with a couple other people. We went out in twos to do this. And this one time I went out, and we had to drive a bug that had a sombrero on the top of it. So imagine a bug with a sombrero that literally hung off over the sides. So we go through to Wisconsin, and we do our thing, and this car was all painted up. It had paint on the windows, and, you know, just kind of trying to create the excitement for this Mexican restaurant that I clearly cannot even remember the name of this day. But we were on our way back to St. Paul, and I'm this particular time, I am with this young lady, college student, first year in college. She's like 18, 19. We get pulled over by a cop in Wisconsin. And I honestly still don't understand, and though I am not a driving person, I still do not understand what she did wrong. And, you know, she was driving with traffic. There was nothing that felt like she was doing anything different than anybody else. But he pulls her over. And he lits into us about this car and how we have the sombrero and what in the world are we doing with the sombrero on our car. And why is she driving so erratically? So erratically, and just scared the crap out of her. She'd never been pulled over before. And so she's freaking out. I'm just sitting there listening to the cop. This guy's being very not nice. And he goes and he's like, oh, I'm going to pull your license. And, you know, if I give you a ticket, you have to pay for the ticket. And if you don't, you're going to jail until you pay for the ticket. I mean, he was just threatening her. And she's like freaking. So he goes back and she's like, I don't have a credit card. I have nothing to do. I'm going to be in jail if he gets in. I'm like, don't tell him I have a credit card, but I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. You're fine. So the guy comes back. He made us pull the car over. We had to go walk to the college, ask an art student for a razor blade to clean off the car because he didn't like there was paint on the windshield. I don't know the laws around that, but apparently it was not okay. And so that was my exciting job in Wisconsin, which wasn't quite the question you asked, but I felt very bad for this woman who, that was her first experience being pulled over by a policeman, and it was very traumatic.
It can be. Definitely.
So policemen, be nice to girls in sombrero cars. The funny thing, this is the funny thing, I think. I went the weekend before with a guy who, he did speed. We were booking, I mean, my God, he was the whole time just booking. Oh, no, nobody had a problem with that. It was totally fine. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was fascinating.
Okay, so if you knew then what you know now, what would you change and how would you do it differently?
The then and the now. Yeah. The new then. That's a really hard question because of the which when and which then and which now. In life in general, there's a boy that could write, I'd have to sit down and chart and graph this baby. I think one of my simple answers, actually, I would have gone to college in Duluth.
Oh.
I think if I would know what I know today, that would be one big life change that I would have made in my life. Sorry, Joel. actually, I would have probably met you. What's that?
Because you did go to college.
I did. Well, right. I went to college in Minneapolis when I was in high school. And then I didn't go to college because I had some dude who decided I needed to work for him. And then I did that, and which was good. And here's why I say that. It's funny because I would have had all of the same teachers if I would have ended up in the same program. Because I went back to college when I was in my mid-30s. But I think what it would have done for me is that I went to college and then I stopped and then tried to go back, and that's where Duluth came into the picture. But I think one of the things that would have really benefited me is I would have gotten the community much, much quicker here. Minneapolis, I sort of felt like I was just hanging out there. And the other thing is, I think musically, I have always been a musical person, a singer, and I just never felt the confidence to do anything with that in the Twin Cities. And I think up here there would have been a way, I think I would have found people and found a way into that. So that's, I think, one thing that I would, that would, I think, drastically shift my life. And
great.
It would be super cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so next question is, what is your favorite co-working office space and why?
Well, Brandon Munson. My favorite co-working office space would be Regis Offices, downtown Duluth, and the Wells Fargo building on the fourth floor.
Beautiful.
And why? Well, first of all, you know why? There's lots of reasons why. When you walk in, you are greeted by Kat, our wonderful photographer, and she's a lovely person to see every day. I don't see her every day, but when I do come in, she's a lovely person to see. And Brandon is sometimes there, which is always, then I'm met with a cheerful smile, and he usually sings my name. So that's fun and makes me laugh, and it's a good way to start the day. Yeah, it's actually a lovely place to be, because there are a lot of people there that you can kind of connect with, and it, so it doesn't feel like you're like this lonely person, you know, like me being by myself. It's nice to walk in and have other people, and you go out and you get some tea and there's other people and you can chat, and it feels like you have a real job.
Many real jobs. Okay, this is the question I can't wait to ask. Tell us about the time that you got lost in the woods with a 69-year-old woman and the heroes that found you.
Oh, gosh, yes. So, all right, I don't think Eve is here anymore because I'm sure that she's the one who asked that question. So, all right, I did Zilch to 5K, which was getting me entered into running. Thanks, Jeff, for getting me into running. He's the one who made me do it. And then I went on and did the trails class. Was it in trails or was it in Zilch? Trails, okay. So it was in trails, which makes sense. We were on a trail. And Eve divides things up into a couple different groups. And so me, and since I'm not a trail runner, I'm a trail walker, me and this lovely other lady who was 69 at the time went off and did our thing. And Eve's like, okay, so you set your course, right? So her group went this direction, and we were supposed to do the circle and then come back. Well, we did the circle.
And again.
And, well, at some point, we were like, wow, what time is we should? And then Jeff called, and he's like, hey, where are you? Like, I don't know. We're walking on the circle, we thought. We had went way off track somewhere. And, yeah. And so, anyway, we were trying to find our way back. Eve was trying to give directions. We were both, I think, at she thought she knew where we were. You know, well, that if you're by this tree and you're by this tree, then you must be in this part of the woods, right? Oh. So we were trying to find our way out, and I think we would have succeeded ourselves. But what was fascinating is, so eventually the police were called. Oh. Because it was getting dark.
I was going to say.
Yes. And I could hear them coming, and so we were trying to make noise and figure it out, and they eventually couldn't find us. And Eve was getting upset, being our Eve runners, or our Eve group. Eve is our group leader. There we go. And so she was getting frustrated. So she kind of hightailed it in, but the cops had basically at some point said, well, you're going to have to stay out there all night. Good luck tomorrow. That did not sit well with either of us out there in the woods. It was a beautiful night. It would have, you know, been fascinating, but it's creepy. So, and I would not done well.
No.
But it ended up happening. So the police came. They didn't help me get out of the woods. But Eve came in with her dog. And Lambo and Eve found us and help pulled us out. So, and the fun thing was, well, so this is the weird thing, because I was really grateful that the police came, right? Like, just some chick in the woods, I don't know. So it was nice that they showed up. But I tried to thank them, and they would not. They wouldn't, like, say anything. They were just, like, annoyed with me. And I guess they were asking other people, what were they doing out there in the woods? Why were these people out there in the woods? And, like, you know, what? So they were not pleased with me. So I felt bad about wasting their time.
So did anyone else get lost?
Oh, no.
For
no, it's just us two. Okay. Oh, no. I think that went okay, right?
Yeah. They're still out there.
But, yeah. Yeah, no. And then the nice part about it was the running group is sponsored by Tortoise and Hare Shoe Store. And I walked out, and Jim from Tortoise and Hare was standing there and gave me a big hug, which was just nice, because after you're kind of like freaking out that you might be stuck out here, and it was good. So that was a fascinating story. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank goodness for dogs.
Okay, so now we're going to get into some podcast questions, which fascinate me as well. What inspired you to start this podcast, and talk a little bit about the big picture?
So I suppose the beginning inklings to the podcast were that I've always been interested in radio, right? Like, that kind of medium and music and all of that is a very interesting thing for me. And so I think that's kind of where the podcast concept went, ooh, this is kind of neat. But really where it came from was I have had just kind of a challenging health journey that has never, ever just been easy. Like, it's just never been cut and dry. I tend to be kind of an outlier for everything. If the meds are supposed to work this way, it doesn't work. And so pain medication doesn't work for me, things like that. And nobody really knows what's going on with me, so I'm just this one big old mystery. And because of the people along my way who stuck their nose out and said, do you know about this person? Do you know about this? I became an herbologist for a few years, helping everybody else with their stuff. And that was fun for me. It was really fun to have people call me up and say, hey, I'm going in for a medical procedure in a couple days. I'm getting a cold and I need to not have one. What can you give me? So I was pretty good at that. That was fun. But so much of it was there. I was discovering all of these people and these modalities and these amazing people that my doctor never told me about, right? Like, I luckily had a doctor who at one point said, you know, meds are bad for you. So if it's not working for you, don't do them. And I wanted to do the natural route. So I did. And it was very, never been amazing, but it led me on this, my gosh, people need to know this stuff is out there. And I ran into so many people who just didn't know. They weren't aware. They didn't know there were other things. They didn't see validity in them. And I wanted to take these people who are doing amazing stuff, and not just medically, it's also just health. Health is this huge thing, right? It's this huge complex puzzle we live in. It's everything. And I want to share that with people, and I just want people to know that there's all these people and these things going on that are available. So to me, like I say, health is a big thing. And you look at my podcast and you'll see that if you look in through the episodes. I've got food, I've got, you know, all of that kind of stuff, because that's all part of it. So it felt like a way to me to learn about people, to have an opportunity to sit down with them and learn their, Learn who they are. Why do we want to go to this person? Like, some people need to hear that. I discovered in Duluth there's this sort of integrative medicine group of people, and then there's all of these other people who have, they sometimes are afraid of it, or they just don't even know it exists. And I want to help bridge that. I want to help people find these people, this information. And if they can sit in their house and they can listen and be in the dark and nobody has to know, if they start to understand that or find pieces that fit them, that's great. But it's about sharing people and what they do. So,
awesome.
Yes. And I do want to say, thank you. This has been a really interesting journey. This has not been an easy thing. I mean, I think the 20-year-old self of me, if they sat and saw me up here right now, she'd be like, yeah, no, that ain't you. But I have to, I do, just because Duluth, like I said earlier, Duluth has been such a huge community place for me. Like, I came to Duluth, I went to college, and then I started doing projects in school which wanted me to do stuff that was authentic to me, so I ended up in the more, you know, integrative community. Hence, I met Aaron DeWitt, who bolstered me forward into stuff that I started to do, and then Jocelyn Strand. I don't know if Jocelyn Strand is still here. She helped me get my food group going. We had a conversation, and she said, I've got a space, and we've got a need. And I went, okay, I'll give this a shot. And I was in college. It was a great opportunity for me to try doing some stuff like that. So that was a really huge thing. So I just feel like I've kind of like found more of me in Duluth than I've ever found or felt brave enough to express before.
Okay, so what has been your greatest aha moment?
Oh.
Which I want to dig into this.
Wow, greatest aha moment. I think it's hard to sort of like, I've had a lot of, that's interesting. I'm not sure how many ahas I've had. I think part of the aha has been for me, you know, I'm excited about health and wellness, and I see many other people excited about health and wellness, but I'm putting out a podcast about something that we kind of want. You know, we want health and wellness, but it's an investment, and it's sort of that, how do I get people to hear a message about all of these, you know, all of the things that are going on? And I somehow, like, in my innocent sort of little mind was like, this is awesome, these people are amazing, everybody should be knowing this. And it's just been a little bit more challenging to kind of get the word out than I guess I had maybe thought and hoped, and have the word spread. And so it's just like little things that I am curious about. It's the, I want to understand that so I can learn from it. Like, you know, just when I see, for instance, just as an example, just because this came up in my little brain of, that's interesting. So one of my podcasts recently was on essential oil safety, by a nurse, by the person who has the Coursera class. And she really does, she's got degrees in this stuff, right? And so, and she's amazing, and people know that, and they pay attention, for sure. But I also was like, my gosh, there's so many people, and can this, you know, will this get shared, and how far will this go? And I'm surprised that it didn't, you know, when I see the shares, which is only one portion of it. But it's just trying to understand, okay, what this feels like such an on-topic discussion. How can I help people know about this? Because it's, you know, it's like how to make your oils last longer. It's how to not make sure your children don't get them and drink them so they get hurt and damaged, and how, you know, just all of these things that we kind of don't necessarily think about. And so it's like it's that sort of, How do I do this? So I think it's probably just that my passion and desire, and then I'm like, well, how do I, you know, it's that, wow.
So is that the most difficult part of all this, is just getting it out there? Like,
It's part of it. You know, it's everybody's busy, right? Like, there's so much demand on our time. There's so much Facebook, you know, if most of my marketing is on Facebook, right? So there's how much scrolling can you do, right? So it's having it seen, and it's having that awareness, and I think some of it is, like, I rarely in my life feel like I'm doing the right thing, you know what I mean? I always question myself from here till next Monday about what I've done, what I've said, whatever, of just, you know, who am I to be doing X, right? And for some reason, this whole podcast thing is that gut feeling. It's that feeling like I'm on to something here,
yeah,
right?
And
I'm not saying I'm not, maybe, you know, but
no,
but it's that feeling that, oh, I gotta keep going, and you know, but you have this little vision in your head and you just like,
so
you want it to fly because you want people to hear the information.
Absolutely. When you're in the middle of one, do you get the inspiration for the next one? Like, does someone say, oh, you need to meet so-and-so, and then
That's actually kind of what, so it's interesting because most of the people that have been on my podcast are people actually like have know and experience their work. And that's great, because what I want to do with the podcast, it is about, you know, presenting people that I believe in, right? Like, I haven't had, you know, anybody on the podcast that I don't have no experience with. The few people that I really haven't known have come so highly recommended that it's like, okay, you know, and some people you can't always have access to, right? So it sometimes is, or it's the reminder of, ooh, this topic, or ooh, this person. So I definitely take those. I mean, part of it is this podcast is for the people who are listening. So I want feedback. I love it when people tell me, you know, give me ideas. I want to, you know, check people out, because I do feel like I'm kind of putting my name on the line, and I want to be as good with that as I possibly can. But again, I can't have experience with everybody. So I kind of,
yeah.
But I try to do the best I can with that. Yeah.
With that, do you ever get into the part of the podcast where they say something or do something surprising that you weren't expecting? And then how do you handle that? Like, what's your most surprising? Blooper per se, but like a...
Say that again?
Not like a blooper. Like, oh, shoot.
That's what we edit. All those bloopers come out.
Did it ever go a direction that surprised you?
I have had a few things that... Nothing really huge, though. That is one thing that I'm not like I don't process as fast as I would like to. So I need give me a half a day to go think about this and then come back. Doesn't work that way. but it is, because I want a little more time to think about it, and I want to be better at that in kind of being able to sort of dig in and ask more questions. But sometimes it's like I'm trying to listen to them and formulate questions at the same time, because I don't sit there with a list of questions. It's pretty rare that happens. So I can't think of a particular moment, but I have had a couple where I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting, or I really, you know, how far do I dig into this? But nothing really major, nothing that I can think of has really surprised me.
So with your list of amazing people that you've had on, what's your biggest wish for them?
I mean, really, the whole idea with this thing is that it reaches more people, is that somehow the work I do of putting this together and, you know, really kind of putting my heart and soul into this, I mean... This is a thing I don't get paid for in any real way. Like, there is no sponsor. There is nobody sponsoring me. The question that I do get occasionally is, why don't you have a hospital sponsor you or a medical place sponsor you? Because they got money. And it's like, I love that. You know, that would be nice. But
how... They start saying, you know...
Oh, they would start telling me what I could say. And how many people that have been on my podcast would you think would be automatically X'd off? Right? I'd have superior small badge, and that'd be about it. But it's, yeah, a lot of them would be kicked out, right? So part of the thing for me with the podcast, and I really wanted to like dig deeper into this, and I need to probably ask my people that I interview, is like, where can we go, right? Because I'm also Minnesotan, so, you know, you want to be polite and whatever. But it's about digging into the information that might be, you're not going to hear it everywhere else, right? And digging into that so they can be true and authentic. And sometimes that's an interesting thing. Sometimes when I have somebody who is backed by something where, you know, once the recording equipment goes off, I get a different story. Not a real different story, but a more in-depth story, I should say, because nobody that has ever come on is like one person here and another person there. That's never happened. But it's one of those things where it's like, I want my podcast to be... gritty is probably the wrong word, but I'll take that too. I want it to be really authentic and open, because I want people to have as much information as they possibly can, as truthfully as they can, because that's what we need, I think, right now. Yeah, so I don't have anybody telling me what to do, which is great.
That is great. Okay, so with that, would you ever take it to a level like an April Fool's kind of podcast? Like a one that is a spoof or like
that would be an interesting thing. I don't know what I would do. I hope it's April 1st if you ever hear me talking about how great Monsanto is.
Let's do it. And pharmaceuticals. Everyone should be on penicillin all the time.
Exactly.
Take your daily penicillin and eat Monsanto.
Exactly, yes. GMOs, pesticides, yay. Yeah, that's an intriguing question. I'll have to think about that. I suppose this has potentially ruined it for people, but maybe not.
Really funny.
Yeah.
And then what if all of your shares just went through the roof? That'd be scary. Like, all of a sudden you get a million shares.
Oh, of Monsanto?
I don't know. All these beliefs.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If all of a sudden I get a ton of Patreon people going, woo! Monsanto lady. Yeah, that would be frightening. I would be very sad. That would not be okay. That would not be okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think makes a really successful interviewer?
What makes a successful interviewer? Well, that's an interesting question. What?
I got to cheat. I got to actually have questions, but you don't. You sit down and you just start diving in. Like breakfast. We just
Yes, that's true.
We dig in.
Yeah. So what makes a successful interviewer? What do I do?
What do you do?
Oh, what do I do?
Yeah, successful interview.
Am I a successful interviewer?
You are.
Oh, well, then, yeah. I don't know. I try to be. Like, this is what I want to do. I mean, I want to keep getting better. So, you know, I do, like, we sometimes go in with a guide or some questions, but I love, and this is what I want to get even better and faster at and bolder at, is diving into the questions. It's like, I need to take notes, because I want to be so present for them, and I am present for them, but then there's, like, this thing I'm like, oh, I want to touch on that, and then I sometimes forget it. So I'd love to do more of that, but I love being able to... Yeah, to dive in and have people spend some actual time with me where we get to, like, talk and be and I get to hear about who they are and they get comfortable. I mean, that's one thing the people have told me is that they're pretty comfortable. I've had some people walk through the door who are very not comfortable being there. And when I tell them no camera, that solves a lot of problems. But it also just... we kind of get into the flow and things are good and they talk. So it's, maybe it's that just from feedback that I get, but yeah, I like hearing about what people do. And so it kind of makes it easy and the people are awesome. So that makes it easy.
So if people want to contact you, they just go on your website to set up, like if they decided, oh, I have someone that would be perfect.
They could just send me an email. Or I have searched out pretty much everybody that I've searched out. But like I said, yeah, if somebody were to send me an email and say, or give me a, you know, Facebook message or whatever, I'm open. I'm definitely open. I want to be thoughtful about that. I do get weird random email or messages from people I don't know who are trying to get their book on my podcast. And I haven't done anything like that. But I'm kind of curious to explore some of them because I kind of like, who are these people and what are they doing? So... that's everything?
Yeah,
all right.
I want to ask anybody if they have, is there
any other funky questions that have come up?
Other than, let's just give Judy a great big huge applause. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. I want to hear about Patreon because I don't get it.
You don't get Patreon? All right, Patreon. Actually, that is a good question because a lot of people actually do ask me that question in one way or another. So, Joel, you can fill in what I'm forgetting. But there's a lot to say about Patreon. So, Patreon, just to give you a basic understanding. So, like I said, I don't get paid. So the only thing that I do, in a sense, get paid is if you look on my Patreon page and you see a little number, that's what I get. That's what awesome people, thank you, awesome people, who have... decided that I'm, you know, that they want to be a part of supporting me each month. And that's kind of what it is. So Patreon started as a artist's way to get paid, right? So I'll use Amanda Palmer because she's my go-to Patreon person. She is a singer and a lot of other things, but that's where she started. She started in a two-person band, couch surfing, and basically literally going, hi, we're in this town next week. Anybody got a couch we can sleep on? And that's how it started. So she built this community. And then through the community, then Patreon showed up as a thing that was, like I say, for artists where you take and you support either by project or by month. You can actually do one-time payments too. But the kind of the idea is that you people support you by pledging that each month, or if you're an artist, each project, that they will support you for this much. So you can start with a buck. I mean, it goes up to never-ending amounts, and then, like, there's different levels and you get different things for those levels, and then you're kind of then part of this community, right? So you're saying, I support you person, and it allows the person to go about their business and do what they're going to do, and especially once you've kind of are making enough money to cover things, you're not worried about how do I sell my art? How do I make money on my music? It's there. People have said, You go do you. We got this, to kind of quote Amanda Palmer. So that's what it's there for. So in the podcast realm that I'm working in, because I'm not supported by anybody financially in that way, it's basically saying to the listeners, hey, do you like what I'm doing? Is this worth it for you to spend 25 cents an episode, a buck a month or more? And thank you for all of you bucks and mores that are willing to just kind of do that. And say, here you go, and keep that kind of going. So each month, right, this is how much it is. So once, it just continues to grow for obviously however many Patreon people you have. But it's a way to sign up. So you look on the Patreon site, there's various levels. You can decide however much you want to do and then what you get for those levels. And every artist does it different. For mine, there's advertising. One of the things with Patreon that's cool that I haven't done as much as I want to, but I think things are coming. We're working on making some cool shifts to have some more cool things. Is when you become a Patreon member, no matter how much you become a Patreon member for, extra bits come at you. So meaning, this is what I need to do better on. I need to ask more people to do more stuff for me. But for instance, I've had a couple coaches who basically put a tool, an extra on there. And then if you're a Patreon member, you get that information. You have access to that. Joel Bamford, wherever he is, we've got one going out with him that we sat down and I asked him some life questions. And he just answered the questions. We just had a conversation. I love stuff like that. Like I love, I could do breakfast with you podcast because I love that. And there's so much that comes out of that. And obviously people are kind of interested in that, right? When you think of some of the, if you know podcasts and you know that some of the really popular ones, they're a couple hours long and they're kind of shooting the breeze, right? So those are fun because it's like I say, a lot of stuff can come out of that. But so that's kind of what you get when you're on Patreon. And I want to build that. I want to keep that growing. I want to give more value to that because it's fun. And I really do appreciate everybody who is willing to step forward and do that. It means a lot to me. And yeah, it's a great way to keep this going. I mean, the sad reality, the hardest thing, the hardest thing about the podcast, to be truthful, the hardest thing is saying I need money. Because I don't care. I really don't care. I just need to eat and pay my bills and would love to afford more of the practitioners that I've interviewed, quite frankly. But that's the reality, and I'm trying to come to a peace with that. I started the podcast. My goal was to put content out there. I wanted to know, could I do this? Does anybody care? Can I do a good job, and can I do it consistently? And then I'll figure out the rest. And I feel like, from downloads that we see and comments that I get in random places, that people are listening. I was in a very odd place one night, and I had a guy come up to me and go, are you the podcast lady? And I wasn't in a place I could ask him more questions. Like, how do you know who I am? But so I feel like I'm there. Like, I feel like I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot more I want to do. But I'm kind of that realization that if I'm going to continue this, I have to suck it up and say, I need help, I need support, I need assistance. So yeah, that's what Patreon's for. It's sort of Joel had a really interesting description the other day when we were kind of discussing Patreon and the whole, he was talking about delivering newspapers as a kid, and you go deliver the newspapers, and then you have to go and collect money. This was years and years ago, when you had to go to collect the money on the with tickets and stuff, that you had to go and you had to ask them for the money, right? And then there was a sort of uncomfortableness because you're asking them for money and they just want their paper and kind of thing. And Joel's thing was, this kind of takes away then that need. You throw the Patreon out there and then boom, it's there. The trick is, in Duluth, and probably I'm sure other places too, not a lot of people know what Patreon is. It's not something that we readily utilize. And I think there's more people, because I run into people occasionally who are like, totally, they totally get it. But it's a new economy, right? It's how, again, back to Amanda Palmer, going to like make me pay to use her name eventually. But this is how she makes her living. It is this. This is how she knows that, well, like she says, her last album went out for very inexpensive, like a buck or something. And she says, I am doing that because I have my Patreon people. They're taking care of it, right? So she can make it accessible to anybody else who doesn't have more than a buck. And I had another point that I wanted to make there, and it is gone. Shoot. It was a good one, too. So, yeah. Does that make sense?
It's hard to feel like you're not cheapening the event.
Your mic.
Oh, I just want to talk to you.
I know, right?
It's
breakfast all over again.
It's being humble, and it's asking for the money at the end when you don't want to cheapen the experience of the podcast,
right,
by saying, okay, now I need money.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, wait, I would do this for free. I know you would do this for free. You have breakfast with me for free. I don't pay you. It's so great.
I will sell tickets. If anybody wants to buy a ticket with breakfast for me, I am down with that.
It's way more better than this right now, but she speaks the truth. We need more chances to hear the truth, and that's exactly what you're saying. With a sponsor, it would be censored, and we have to keep that out of it.
I don't want somebody to advertise. No, you know, because one of the things we're looking at doing is having sponsors, having commercials, which I know people don't love, but I'm kind of just like, I'm sorry. I want to keep that very clear and clean and transparent, because I don't want anybody to tell me what I can talk about. I don't want anybody to tell my guests that they can't talk about X. We need this. I feel so, so strongly about our healthcare system being just kind of jacked up. And, you know, we don't get real answers at the doctors. And I know that sometimes it's they don't know and they don't have time to do the research and learn everything there is to know. I don't have a problem with that. I get that. I also have known from very direct conversations that doctors say, I absolutely believe in these modalities and I can't share them or I lose my job. Then that to me is that is not doing no harm. I don't think when I get frustrated with America and freedom, because I see Judy not being alive next week after this podcast airs, but somebody bail me out of jail, please. Thank you. We need truth and reality, and we need to know what's out there, and that is what I try to present, because it makes me crazy to think that all of the times I've been to doctors and the people I have talked to who don't get told anything or told that modality doesn't work, that doesn't work. And the doctors don't know anything about it. And in some cases, the doctors have said, well, I don't know anything about that, so it must not work. And that breaks my heart, because people are like, we're sick, we're miserable, we're too stressed out, we're unhappy, and we're physically not in a good way. And we've got so many systems working against us. And I'm trying to figure out my health every day. I know how hard it is. And I want to bring people information that just, my God, if they can grab one nugget of something, you know? I mean, this, so much of my podcast is Duluth-driven, right? Like, it's Duluth people. And I've had a few people on from National, you know, a woman from Canada that's doing amazing stuff with the food shelf. I mean, changing the community health because of her food shelf. A guy out in California who, through a very bad medical experience with his dad, and this is a very wealthy guy, started a whole clinic because he's like, this isn't okay, right? And those are the people I want to highlight, and those are the, because I want people, I want us to know that that's out there, and I want us to bring that here. Like, I mean, this dude from California, he's like, you give me a call anytime. If you got people who want to make this happen there, let's make it happen there. And I want people to know that these things are possible, because I think we're all so struggling. And you say, I'm very local, but the podcast, I mean, it does not have to be shared only local people. Send it out to the world, right? Like, Jan Tomeno's essential oils, good for anybody, you know, anywhere you are. But then I think of things like, you know, the osteopaths or the chiropractors that I have, or just any other modality. And that information can be useful somewhere else, right? Like you can listen and learn and go, okay, these are the questions I'm going to ask this person when I go into the doctors or things like that. So I think there's a lot that can be taken away, and that's kind of my goal, is I want it to be something that anybody could listen to and at least get something out of if they want. But I just think the transparency thing, you know, again, we can't find out what's in our own food, and that's insanity to me. It's painful insanity. And I don't know, like ultimately I want people to get out there. I think one of the questions was, what do I want ultimately for my guests? I want the stuff to get out there. I want people to be seen and heard and respected and understood. And if that can chisel away at more people understanding what's out there and what's possible, and it can change things, and people go to their doctor and ask more questions or demand more, and then I'm doing the right thing. And I just want that. I want to somehow change. I don't know why I think I can do this, but I want somehow to change and chisel at things. I had a rough road, and I am so grateful that I started back when I did, because I can't imagine now if I would have as much autonomy over my healthcare as I did back then. And now I can look at everybody and go, yeah, thanks for the prescription. Have a nice day. But when I had the doctor back and, you know, say, hey, this stuff isn't good for you and it's not working, so don't do it. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the people in my life who took me to task for what I was doing to myself. You know, nothing grandly. I was eating Pop-Tarts. It was a bad deal. But I'm just, you know, just that somebody kind of pointed out, hey, do you know that this is probably not the best thing for you? Or, hey, do you know that there's this modality? I want to help people find stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Judy Brewer, 2020.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. What's next up on the list? So why the heck am I doing this podcast? Check. I think we got that. To save the world. Is that a proper vision statement? All right. So the next thing, before we do prizes and like that, they have lots of prizes. And oh my gosh, you guys, the people, you guys have like donated such awesome stuff. I am so thankful. Like I asked and you guys just boom, it was so great. Thank you. But before we get to that, I do, and one of the things, but just because I have this feeling I'm going to forget to say it, so I'm going to say it now out of context. So when we do the door prizes, I would love for some of you, if you want to come up and talk a little bit about what you do briefly, I would love that so people get to know who you are. And you know, part of the reason, and I should have said this in the beginning, actually, there's a couple of things that I should say right now while I'm thinking about them. I put numbers on your name tags, right? So y'all could see who each other was and make that association. And, you know, it's a great, hey, you're number 15. What do you do? And then I also have, and Cole probably told you this because she's smart and responsible, I have a package of cards up there that some of you have gotten because I've ran into you in places. And the cards are, there's my business card, but there's a box of cards. And the point of the cards is that we made them with a blank on them. And I don't remember exactly what it says, but something to the effect of, check out my episode. And there's a blank. And the point is for you to have an easy way, because it's one of the things I've also learned from myself and everybody else, is that it's hard to self-promote, right? But if you've been on the podcast and you want to share your podcast, you can write your number and say, hey, look, this chick did this podcast with me. You know, it's a great way to find out what I do. And that was kind of inspired because I was in the room with a doctor who I heard the woman come over to her and she said, oh my gosh, I need a doctor of your type. And, you know, and she said, oh, well, go listen to Judy's podcast. And if you like what you hear, give me a call. I was like, oh, freaking awesome. This is what I want this to do. This is great. So the cards are there for your taking so that you can do that if it's easy to hand out to people. So please take them because, yeah. All right. So the next thing that I want to share, this is kind of an interesting diversion for me, but one that also feels sort of weirdly gut right. And I spent the hour a little bit before this at Death Cafe. This is not exactly about this. It's a weird segue, but we're going to go with it. So I was at Death Cafe, and if you don't know what Death Cafe is, it's a place where people gather and they talk about death in whatever form and discussion they want to. It sounds weird, but it's really cool and it's amazing. You should all come. But Dana brought up the fact of sort of taboo topics and the sort of weird fun that it is to talk about that. And I sat there thinking, going, you know, most of my life, like most of the things I do are in some weird way can be misconstrued or construed as taboo topics. And I don't know what that's about. But I think as I listen to myself talk this evening, it's about the transparency. It's about helping people find themselves and helping people figure out how do we do life better, right? So an interesting thing coming up that we're going to launch in July, as soon as I can get it all edited, et cetera. There is a podcast that was alluded to earlier with Patricia Engelking, who is a sexual authenticity coach. And we did a podcast. Her and I got together, and we had just an amazing connection and did a great podcast. And then we went in to do another one. And about 2 hours later, after it felt like it was no time at all, we decided that we are going to actually do a whole additional podcast. It's going to look different than what I'm doing now. Oh, yay. And it's called Sex Matters, with a period, because sex matters. And it's in a kind of an extension to how I feel about so many things. We need to talk about things. We need to communicate, and we struggle with that. And one of the things that I've learned through all of the work I've done in its very many forms, and the work that I do with the men's groups and other conversations that I've had with other things that I've done, is this is such a huge struggle for people. It's ruined relationships because of the lack of ability to communicate and talk. And just we're in a culture where we're so closed, right? Like we have this weird, you know, women get sort of sexually abused every day by opening up the magazine and watching the TV, right? Like we kind of just get told how we're not looking exactly that way, et cetera, et cetera. But then we aren't allowed to talk about, you know, sexuality in schools, and we don't have any education. So Patricia and I basically decided that, like I said, she's a sexual authenticity coach, which what that kind of means is she's gone through this massive life shift through a 25-year not great marriage, coming out of it, and this is where the sexual authenticity coach has come in, because she basically said, I'm not going to go into another relationship not knowing myself, and realizing how our culture is just kind of screwed up and hurting many of us. Then I think that's pretty obvious. But anyway, so the point is, there will be a new podcast. It's going to be with me and Patricia, and we will be having discussions. Some things born out of our, you know, things we're seeing, things in the news. But we love questions. We already have some questions from listeners that aren't even listeners yet, because there's nothing to listen to. But so if that's something you're interested in or know somebody who might be, it will eventually be on iTunes, but it will be at sexmatterspodcast.com. So check it out. There's nothing up there yet, but there will be. But it's one of those things that this feels sort of weirdly gut right, that just, it's another topic where you either can't talk about it with somebody, or oh my gosh, when they find out that they can talk about it with you, floodgates open, and it's amazing. And I think we miss a lot of that in our culture in general with each other, but in close relationships. So this is what that's there to foster. So that's my next additional journey. So. Thank you. I always love feedback on podcasts, but we'd love some feedback on that one too, and some input and questions. And you don't have to. We'll never share your name. We'll be all HIPAA about it if we know your name in the first place. We haven't figured out how we're going to get questions yet. That's yet to be seen. But keep an eye out for that. All right, it is time to do drawings. All right, I have been asked. I have been asked to sing the drawings song. Yes. Well, hello, my name is Judy, and I like to do drawings.
I like to draw all day long, so come and do drawings with me. Come and do drawings with me.
Cheeky monkey. Especially for you, Carrie.
There's my song. Where is the drawing bucket? The drawings? Do you guys remember that from Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I feel like after the Simon thing, and after all of Cookie's discussion of butts, I should be like that whole line that Simon says, "Are you looking at my bum, you bum looker?" Okay. I suppose I should tell you what you're drawing for. Where should we start? There's so many good things.
So here's the part where we drew for prizes that so many of the people on the podcast generously donated. Thank you so very much for giving of yourself and the great things that you offer. And I also want to thank so many people who helped with the party and the event and made it all possible. Many of them were thanked in the program and the directory that we handed out that night, which we will put online. I'm not sure how that's going to happen yet, but we're going to put that online so that you can access that, all the podcast episodes and a message and all wonderful things. But I do want to just say thank you so much to Paul Bergstrom and Laura Hill for taking this boulder of an idea and helping me push it down the hill of fruition. Thank you so much to Cookie Killian for so many things that you were during this process, and many other people, to Martha and Sue and Cole and Miriam, to Jeff and Joel, who both helped with tech and so many other pieces of making the recording and everything come together. Thank you to Catherine Nordstrom and Michael Anderson for your mad picture-taking skills. I've gotten a lot of compliments on them, by the way. Thank you, Joel, for your endless hours of on-the-fly InDesign learning and creation. I think the end product looks fantastic. And to anybody I am forgetting, I am so sorry, but thank you so much for making this fun and a reality and for supporting me and the podcast and having a great time. Good stuff, and let's do it again. And one more thing that I absolutely need to say, as somebody who has worked as hard as I have with food allergies and food sensitivities, we had a little bit of a challenge with food labeling that night, unfortunately. And for the person who had the flax sensitivity and therefore wasn't able to eat the gluten-free crackers that they had, I hope so much that you were able to find a substitute. I never found out who you were to be able to connect back up with you to make sure you got what you needed.
All right. That concludes our show. Thank you all for staying and being a part of this whole thing. I applaud you guys, too, for being wonderful and coming and hanging out and being a part of my party. Yes. Exactly. Hi. I didn't even notice you were sitting there. Nice. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Yes, Paul was actually one of the people who said, you need to do this. And so now here I am. Look what you did. So thank you all. Have a wonderful night. And I guess as we usually say, may you continue to find the pieces of the puzzle that fit their piece. Wow, I can't even say it right. This fizzy. Wow, this is what this... Continue to find the pieces that fit your health and wellness puzzle. Ooh.